This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
Check it out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sweet.
Slam follow, Rudy Gobert. What a game for Rue.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the horn sounds here in L.A. and the Timberwolves close out the series in 5 games.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You don't know what the roster will look like next year.
Earlier on the show, Colts general manager Chris Ballard. 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback Alex Smith. Coming up, Rams general manager Les Snead, actor Patricia Clarkson, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Awesome stuff, everybody. Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots going on in this town of Los Angeles sports-wise. We started the show talking about the Lakers getting eliminated in 5. We also just had a great chat with Alex Smith in hour number 2. I just had a very nice chat in our green room with the actress Patricia Clarkson, whose new film Lily will be available exclusively in theaters next week on May the 9th. We've got a great, fun celebrity true or false setup for her about the Untouchables, Good Night and Good Luck. Oh, so many other great movies that she's been in. Green Mile, Jumanji, which was, as you remember, a great Craig Kilborn catchphrase on SportsCenter back in the day. Chris Ballard was on in hour number 1, and joining us here is one of our favorites. And by the way, that was the Royal We as well I was using, because I just love this guy. And I'm not just saying that because he's appearing on the screen. He's the general manager of your Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. How are you, Les? Good to see you.
Who's house?
How are you?
I'm good, Rich. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. Are you in your office? Is that where you are? Is that where you are right now?
Artist Twyman's office. This is Artist Twyman's
office. Oh, you're crashing his spot, huh? Okay.
You know what? His Zoom seems to be more consistent than mine.
What's going on?
Sometimes you make an appointment in my Zoom and it's crashing, and I'm probably less technical than some. So,
okay.
This is a good, safe space to do these types of events.
All right. Let's just jump right into it to start, Les. I don't know what you're doing with your picks anymore. One minute you're effing them, the next one you're collecting them, and this time around you didn't take a first rounder because you took one in next year's draft. I mean, walk me through that decision. End of the first round, Falcons ring you up, and you got 10 minutes to figure this thing out, Les.
You know, each of those scenarios are case by case. In this particular draft, though, based on probably whether we were a little more specific in terms of probably positions we were looking for, players we were looking for, even our needs, we did feel like there was a possibility, good probability, that we might trade back at 26 based on the way the draft may go. That did come to fruition. What we probably weren't planning for was we felt like, okay, there's a chance we're going to move back, collect some more picks in this year's draft with teams. But when Atlanta came calling for a future one, we felt like it was better for us at this particular moment to delay the gratification. we somewhat passed the marshmallow test. And take a pick in the next year's draft and still trade back.
So, again, everybody's going to be sitting here starting to think that you've already identified somebody in next year's draft that you want to save your powder for. Is that a fair assumption, Les?
Right now? Speculation for the next 364, 63, 62 days. If I knew who was coming out in the draft, that would help. That's always based on all that's going on in college football. probably a little tougher to predict who might or might not come back or who may stay for next year based on, the NIL and those players being able to get paid. So that's still to be determined.
Well, what's the number of days, Chris? You've already figured that out?
Next year's first round is April 23rd in Pittsburgh, so we're 358 days.
There you go, 358 days less. So you could keep track of the number of days that we're going to keep talking about it in the media. You know what I mean? Just giving you
I understand
that information.
Well, because good content, right? Hopefully it's interesting.
Thank you very much for you understand I am a content searcher. But in all honesty, Les, I mean, so many Rams fans are white knuckling the quarterback situation is seemingly like on an annual basis, and this might be something that you have in your back pocket in case it's another white knuckler next year. I mean, what can you tell us on that front? About Stafford,
I think it's been clear. Matthew's obviously we call it the back nine of his career. How many years he goes? We hope it's more than let's call it more than less. But we've all talked about it, so we know that his era is coming to an end. But I would say this: priority number one is making the most of the Matthew Stafford era. Why wouldn't you? That's why you want a quarterback of his caliber, right? You want to make the most of that era, whatever that may be. But we're also well aware that there is a future without Matthew, and how we navigate that one, you know, is to be determined case by case. But we're aware of both scenarios.
So the
math going on simultaneously.
Right. So the Matthew now era, does that lead to Terrence Ferguson in the second round for you?
The answer would be yes. We definitely felt like, and I think Terrence will also, you know, let's call it, there's a good possibility that he's the heir apparent to Tyler Higbee whenever Tyler's career is over. So there's an element of now, and then there's also an element of future with Terrence as well.
And then the running back room, you added a kid from your alma mater, Jarquez Hunter. How do you see the running back?
And he doesn't play basketball. Isn't that, you know, just
how about that?
I mean, we're a basketball school now.
I'm aware of that. I noticed that for sure.
And maybe we did beat Michigan.
Yeah, I know. You did beat Michigan. Can confirm, Les. You also drafted a Chris Paul. So maybe you got basketball on the brain. But that's for another day. What do you see in this kid Hunter? And what you can expect?
Being an Auburn fan, he was just as from a fan's perspective, you know, from the time he got there to now, he's just been a fun player to watch in terms of just how he runs, his running style. He's one of those guys that ignites a crowd, ignites an audience, the way he breaks tackles. He runs with joy. And then if he does break those tackles, he has the ability to, you know, to hit a double, triple, take it the distance. So we did want to, we do think the way this NFL season's going, the amount of wear and tear that goes into playing running back, that having a committee and a committee with different skill sets only helps us continue being able to run the football like we want to run it.
Yeah, I mean, he's fourth on the all-time Auburn rushing list behind guys named Bo Jackson, Cadillac Williams, and James Brooks. I've heard of them, you know. So
that's a great list.
Yeah, man.
I like that James Brooks pops in there. That's a classic.
That is
he's pre-Bo Jackson.
But is it, and that's pre-Les Snead, correct? As well?
Oh, very pre-Les Snead. Okay, I was probably in middle school or maybe even elementary school pulling for James Brooks.
Just want to make sure, you know, you are younger than you look. Let's just put it this way, in all seriousness. You watched the Michigan-Ohio State tape, I imagine, for your second and fourth round picks as well. Josiah Stewart and Ty Hamilton to add to your defense. What'd you see in these kids? Less.
Well, the neat thing on Josiah is very similar to some of the players we have on our defensive line now, if not all of them, is he started in the group of five and decided to take a chance on upgrading it per se and going to the power four. And when we've seen those players make that step up, get to the next level, the video game where the competition's a little stiffer and still be able to produce like you did at the lesser or lower level, that's always fun to see, because that's what it takes to have success in the NFL. No matter where you went to school and college, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, somewhere like, when you do come to the NFL, you're definitely if you're playing the old school Frogger game on Atari, guess what? When you come to the NFL, the cars are just moving faster. So to get across that highway with that joystick, it's a different game. So it's neat to always see those players take that step. Big Ty Hamilton may be one of the lesser sexy players that Ohio State's had over these last few years, but he's always been a consistent, stable foundation right there in the middle of the defense, and that always transitions to the NFL.
I got
to
be honest with you, Les. If somebody had told me, you know, over under on Les Snead making a Frogger reference in the interview, I'd have taken the under. Were you a Frogger guy?
I would have taken the under too.
Were you the Frogger?
Even I could have walked down to knowing that I was coming to do this interview.
Yes, sir.
I would have bet the under too in Vegas.
Were you a Frogger guy?
And I had
guy,
control
Les?
Of the whole situation.
Were you a Frogger guy, Les? Were you really?
I would. You know what, Frogger? I was a Frogger. Maybe more of a Pitfall guy. Is that what it was called?
But yes. Well, Frogger was. Pitfall. I remember that. That was the game in the jungle, right? Pitfall.
That was
right?
The game in the jungle.
Yeah, man. Okay, I see you.
So
Les.
Anytime you know in those days, you go. I'm sure that's how these new video games are too. The higher you get in the next level of the video game, the faster it goes.
Oh my gosh, Les Snead, the GM of the Los Angeles Rams, here on the Rich Eisen Show. The general sense, Les. And I will ask you, as the general manager, is, you know, some teams are on the rise and some teams are trying to get back, and then some teams are right there. There's a general sense that you're right there, Les. Do you feel that way? That you're right there? You've won a championship before with Stafford. You've added Devontae Adams. I understand Cooper Kupp is a guy that was part of the DNA and he's no longer there. But do you feel that you're right there, Les? Are you right there?
Here's where I think we are. The people on this roster, right? We all have the efficacy, right? Whether you're part of that Super Bowl team, whether you've won a game in the playoffs or not, whether you've won a division and gotten there, a lot of our players on this roster have accomplished all of those right things. So there's a belief that we can do that. What we all know is when 2024 season ended, ball rolls all the way back down to the bottom of the hill. And you got to push that boulder all the way back up, step by step by step. We're just now in phase one. That's where we're at. But yes, this team does have the efficacy. It knows and it believes that it can have success. The key now is doing all the steps and all the things between now and then let's call it reestablish the chemistry, because this is a new team and 2025 is a new season.
Yeah, I mean, the 2024 season ended in the Philadelphia snow with you coming the closest to beating the eventual Super Bowl champs. I mean, you had them right then and there, and obviously the ball didn't bounce your way. But you were right there in a way that no other teams were. And, you know, you as a GM can only do what you can do and then hand it off to McVay. And that's why I'm wondering, do you think you've handed off a team to McVay that's right there, Les?
I think it's all of us, whether it's handing it off or all of us just working together to engineer the most, let's call it, competent collective we can. So, you know what, that's the interesting thing. We were talking to, a basketball coach who stopped through here yesterday, who was recruiting John Shire. So he was at Duke, but we were talking about his law. Basically, the NFL playoffs very similar to the NCAA tournament, right? You're one and done, and no, hey, the ball can bounce a lot of different ways. You can get close, you can get blown out, but whatever the case may be, when that game's over, for that season, if you're on the short end of the stick in terms of points accumulated for that game, that ball rolls all the way back down to the bottom. So we were close. Doesn't mean we'll be close next year. I always say this. When you start a new season, even though we got to, let's call it, 13 yards away from – and I say this, we could have scored. We were 13 yards away from maybe taking the lead with an extra point. We would have still had to kick off and keep them from maybe kicking a field goal or a walk-off winner. Point being is, no matter – that ended, it doesn't mean that, oh, we'll just walk in and end up 13 yards away from beating the Eagles next year, you know, in the divisional round, and all we got to do is complete the pass and we win. So there's a lot of steps between, let's call it, now and getting to the tournament, as we say, as we call it.
Few minutes left with Les Snead, the GM of the Los Angeles Rams, here on the Rich Eisen Show. The best idea I've heard on how to fix whatever's going on with these wild, nasty, awful prank calls during the draft, Les, came from somebody in your household. Les, I don't know if you've seen this. I know you're not on Twitter, but I know you know the individual who has tweeted this out. Kara Henderson Snead, that FaceTime draft calls is the solve for the prank crisis we all win What do you think?
Rich, you'll appreciate this. I know she mentioned that. She said it. I didn't. This is the first time that I've discovered that she actually tweeted that out. But I, when she did say that, you know what? I said, you know what? That's a brilliant idea. Take. I would even say this. The we engineer policy for prank calls. Those are fewer and far between and definitely don't need to happen on that day. But right. It was also a really neat idea on, wow, why haven't we been FaceTiming? And I'm sure there might be teams who do that, but it does seem like a cool thing that, right, the draftee could see the general manager, their next head coach, right? If you're the Chiefs and all of a sudden there's Big Red on the FaceTime,
right?
Like you, number one, you know that's not a prank. Big Red's Big Red, right? You just can't act like Big Red. But then it's also cool to see Big because you've been watching him all these years win a lot of Super Bowls. So that's a cool moment. Great idea by Kara. Glad she even artist is glad she tweeted that. There's some times, Rich, where she kind of, you know, she threads the needle on whether artist is going to kind of text her and say, I'm not sure I would have tweeted that.
Yeah, makes sense. And I imagine with you having John Shire there yesterday, did Kara, was it a take Kara to work day yesterday? Did she show up?
You know, it was unfortunately, I say that either unfortunately or fortunately, mm-hmm. she was flying. She was going with a friend to Europe.
Oh.
So she was not able to connect with John. But for everyone who's trying to figure out the John Shire Kara connect, Kara's a Duke alum. Yes. Obviously, John's a Duke basketball coach. So we've gotten to not know John over these last few years. And he was out recruiting, trying to, let's call it, engineer the next version of the Duke Blue Devils. Because it's interesting. That's a whole different world there, right, where they have some of the best, right, young players on the planet. And they come in for basically, I call it a summer semester, a fall semester, and probably half of a spring semester. And then they're going to the NBA and you got to start over again.
Well, as you know, Les, I've known Kara for over 20 years, having met her at ESPN. And her only drawback is she's a Dookie. But that's coming from me. That's literally the only flaw I think your wife has, Les. Being a Michigan
guy. From a Michigan man, I can understand.
You understand that. The spite. You get it.
I understand the spite.
Before I let you go, I need a confirmation of this story because, you know, our crack staff has make sure that every interview that we conduct and the entire show has production value, Les. We saw this photograph on our Getty Image account with the caption. Los Angeles Rams general manager Les Snead. There's a photograph of what looks like a championship ring in the foreground and you in the background. Les Snead recalls a story about the time the team shared a Seattle hotel with a furry convention. Is this accurate? Was this actually what was happening in this photograph? And did that actually happen, Les?
I can say this. I'm not sure what I'm talking about in that photograph, but I do know this. Not only have we shared a hotel in Seattle with a furry convention. I think we've done it now twice. I think it's been twice. I might be wrong, but I can't say anything.
Wait a minute. You're in Seattle and this is the scene with the Rams in town? Really?
Let me tell you this too. You think about a football, it's September, it's October, it's November. Yeah. You get to December football and you really need a lift.
Yeah.
And just think, you've been traveling to the same hotel. It's kind of, you know, it's getting a little, there's some doldrums going on. Then you show up in the lobby there, and all of a sudden, you know what? We've got a second wind to finish this thing out. I mean, there's actually people. These are actually human beings that showed up and dressed like. So it's, and I can say this. If you talk about people who are passionate,
yes,
they're passionate. That's a costume party. I mean, that's not just, hey, I had to go to this costume party and get something out of the closet. That's well thought out.
No.
Well-intended intentionality.
I've heard of teams trying to get the road team off their game by pulling a fire alarm at 4 a.m. in the hotel. Well, this is next level, because if it's twice now, the Seattle Seahawks are doing this to you, Les. I got to be honest with you, straight up.
That was back in the Pete Carroll era. So, you know, this seems like something Pete might do.
Gamesmanship.
Right? You know, game theory. You know, there's always some gray area in the game theory.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of the best coaches always, let's call it, take the gray and make the gray an edge.
You're taking notes, I am sure. Les, thanks for the time, brother. Great to see you. We'll chat again soon. Thanks again.
Oh, and the under on the furry convention being brought up, I would have bet the under on that as well.
You never know when you come on here on this program. So, all right. Good to see you. Say bonjour to Carol when you speak to her.
We'll do. You got see y'all.
Let's meet everybody. The GM of the Los Angeles Rams.
Who's home?
Confirming.
Rams. Well,
no, it's the furry's house.
Furry's, yeah, there. Yeah.
Hey, all right. Whatever you're into.
So I love it. Kara, you know, Kara's a workshopper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? She doesn't just throw ideas out. She workshopped it on Les. And Les is, I had no idea she tweeted it out.
Yeah, I saw that weight done. It's Sunday. A great idea. I was like, oh, this is perfect.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Although I got to say, him saying, if it's Big Red on the other end of the line, you know that's Andy Reid, unless it's Eric Stone Street in disguise. And you can't tell the difference. Randy Reid and Andy Reid cannot tell the difference.
Or that one dude who shows up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that guy's not going to be part of a...
No, but he does look exactly like Andy Reid.
Nor would Eric Stone Street. Eric Stone Street's too good of a guy.
Yeah.
Can't confirm. All right, let's take a break. Patricia Clarkson is here for new film, Lily. She is outstanding in it. That's in theaters starting next week. She's in our studio next segment. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union. It's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's not often here on the Rich Eisen Show that we talk about the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Play Act, but we're about to because it is a landmark piece of legislation born out of the work of an Alabama tire factory supervisor named Lily Ledbetter. And the film Lily is about her, and the person who plays Lily Ledbetter is here, Patricia Clarkson on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you.
Yeah.
We're about to talk about civics and movies.
Sexy.
Movies.
Sexy
and
civics.
It's the sexiest civics discussion of all time, which makes this the sexiest civics clip of all time. Here is Lily, again, available exclusively in theaters. You were talking to a guy who's appeared on this program before, Thomas Sadowski. Check it out. Ooh. Spoiler alert, she went through with it, and Obama signed it into law.
Yes. Great, great moment in American history.
Yeah, what
all of us.
What a story. You must have had this placed in front of you. And what'd you think when you had this placed in front of you?
It was, I was in London shooting, and I got this offer. Mm-hmm. I got a call, Patty, from my agent. You've been offered to play Lily Ledbetter. And my heart leapt. I'm the baby of five girls. I was in a family of five daughters, raised by a powerhouse of a mother, beautiful father. So you can imagine how important Lily Ledbetter is. We're all working women, all my sisters. They're remarkable people. You can imagine how high up on the scale Lily Ledbetter is. And so when I was offered the part, I couldn't contain myself. I stepped out on my little London balcony and wanted to scream and shout. And I called, the first call I made was to my mother. And she started crying.
No kidding.
Yeah. And she said, "Oh, Patty, you're going to make a movie finally that everybody can see."
What does that mean now?
I've played some rather racy characters. You know, I keep my clothes on. you know, I did Sharp Objects. I played a woman who poisoned her children. I was finally playing, a true American hero. I was playing a woman that is a great American. And that's the beauty of this story. Lily is all of us. She's everyone, from the north to the south, the east to the west, whether you're black or white or brown or gay or straight. She's all of us. Injustice is injustice, and she fought it for a decade. And she was on the ropes, rope-a-dope. She was fighting like hell to not give up. She lost. She suffered a lot of defeats, you'll see in the film. And that's what's so surprising when people see this movie. It's almost like being at a wrestling mat. People are screaming and shouting in the middle of my film and so excited when she gets these victories. And they're few and far between.
Well, I mean, you've been in a of your vast filmography, you have been in a movie before where we know the result, we know the ending, Miracle, right? And where I'm on the edge of my seat. Kind of no spoiler alert, what happens at the very end. We know what happens at the very end here as well. But, you know, her journey on demanding that there is some way, shape or form to level the playing field for somebody who is being discriminated by paycheck, to make sure that all of the past paychecks that have been racking up the indignities of discrimination can actually be put in someone's pocket. That you know, you're watching this entire thing play out. You know what's going to happen, but you're on the edge of your seat, which is what makes a good movie.
I don't think anyone knew the rather tortured journey she had to take and the defeats she suffered and got back up.
Right.
But she also had a remarkable husband, Charles, played by the great John Benjamin Hickey, who was the wind beneath her wings. And, you know, often these people who rise, it's sometimes the person behind the scenes, and he really was so supportive for her to keep fighting. Because can you imagine, she was giving up, she was working these brutal shifts at this factory, giving up valuable time with her family, working overnight shifts and being paid 40% less for years and years and years. And a very good citizen dropped a note in her locker and boom, she was off to the races. So,
well, I'm glad you were able to share the moment that you knew you were getting the gig with your mom. Lily Ledbetter passed away last year.
Yes.
Were you able to use her as a resource during the filming or before?
I'll tell you, I work in an interesting way. Because I had her so high on a pedestal, I had to. You can't play someone from on high. You have to. I'm going to get a little actory here.
You go for it, Patricia Clarkson. You go for it.
But I'm not annoying. I do it on my own. And so I had to put her feet on the ground, and I said, "Lily, you know, I'm going to get to know. I'm going to meet you after I'm going to meet you. So she got excited. She said, oh, we'll get together after you finish shooting. Mm-hmm. And then we had this big premiere at the Hamptons Film Festival, and she was supposed to come, and we were going to meet, and she got quite sick, and she passed. Mm. So, but she knew the film. She had seen the film. She loved the film. She was very complimentary to me. She knew the film brought the house down in the Hamptons, our first big public screening. And it brought the house down. And she died knowing that. So I'm thankful for that.
And it's in theaters next week, May 9th, Lily, available exclusively and obviously based on a true story starring Patricia Clarkson. In terms of somebody from, I guess, the Gulf South that is going against all odds, you grew up a Saints fan? Is that a way to set this up?
I love the Saints. Okay. Yes, I don't watch all sports.
Because you're from New Orleans, right?
I'm born and raised in New Orleans. My whole family lives there. My mother ran the city. My mother was president of city council. Helped rebuild the city after Katrina with the great mayor, Mitch Landrieu. Yeah.
So she must have been there the night that everything reopened, right? When the Superdome reopened, she must have been there.
She never left the city. Even during Katrina, my mother never left.
Sure.
With the police chief. My mother, why do you think Lily, my mother, remarkable human beings
that
rule the world,
sure,
and change the world.
So then
your whole
family must be
Saints. My whole family still lives there. I have a niece who lives in New York. I have another niece and one sister that live in Kansas. But much of my family still resides there, and they go to every single Saints game.
Did you used to have an accent or something?
I do, sort of, if we had bourbon together.
Because I was telling you beforehand that I'm from Staten Island. Like, bourbon doesn't bring it out of me. Cutting me off in traffic brings the New York accent off.
No, but New Orleans and New York are kind of, kissing cousins. They're sister cities. And so I live in New York now, but I am a real New Orleanian. My heart and soul is there. And I love, Drew Brees. God, who didn't love Drew Brees? Oh my God, he's such an amazing man. He was such an ambassador for our city.
Right.
Really helped save the city. Sean Payton, the Saints really delivered.
I mean, and again, that moment when the Superdome reopened, that's still memorialized by a statue outside of the stadium of Steve Gleason, who blocked the punt and now obviously represents so much else in the fight against ALS. And we were just there for the Super Bowl. The city was awesome.
We had just had a horrific, moment
incident,
in
right,
this incident.
On Bourbon Street, yeah.
And yet, the city pulled it together and had it's an amazing city. You want to eat there, you want to drink there, you want to have fun there. It's a beautiful city.
Well, let's stroll down another lane here, memory lane. It's time for Celebrity True or False with you, Patricia Clarkson. It's fine.
You don't want to talk Miracle?
This is
I tell you something that you might not know about Miracle?
Please do.
So on the night of the premiere of Miracle in 2004, we gathered a huge auditorium. It was packed to the rafters. Celebrities, we were, debuting the film. Kurt Russell, all the, the players in the show. Herb Brooks had died, remember, many months before.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many, maybe 5, 6. Patty Brooks was there, whom I play. And the movie plays, and everyone's going crazy, and a curtain drops. It still brings tears to my eyes. And when, after the movie ended, the curtain dropped. And suddenly, the curtain rose again, and every single player on the team was standing there. The past players, the real ones, were on the stage in their jackets, in their medals.
No way. I didn't know that. Jim Craig, Aruzioni, all of them,
in their jackets, in their medals, standing there in a tribute to Herb Brooks. Everybody, my brother-in-law, who's a hockey fanatic, played for Providence College.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal behind me, everybody sobbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever witnessed at a premiere, and a movie premiere, but it was so powerful and beautiful.
Yeah, because it, and again, that movie like I mentioned before, we know how it's going to turn out.
Yes,
and
you do.
And but I'm still on the edge of my seat. And we, you know, my wife and I show it to our kids who, you know, weren't alive then, just to let them understand. And the thing that, you know, that they really couldn't compute is that it wasn't shown live to the United States of America.
No, it wasn't.
That it was tape delayed and shown later. And I'm like, well, we had to turn off the radio or television to make sure that we didn't know the result when we watched it. And obviously what it meant at the time. It's a beautiful movie, Patricia.
But this moment,
awesome.
If you weren't there, a lot of people didn't know this,
they come and they're right there.
And they were all, and they still looked amazing.
Yeah.
They were beautiful, these men, now quite much, much older.
Sure.
And they're, you know, it was a remarkable moment.
I love it. All right, here we go. Celebrity True or False with Patricia Clarkson. Hit it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, true or false, Patricia Clarkson, you were classmates at Yale Drama School with John Turturro, Chris Noth, Courtney B. Vance, and Angela Bassett.
True.
Were you there for their courtship, the last two?
No, they got together later, Courtney Vance and Angie. Got together later. They weren't together at Yale.
Okay. Were you all in a production together?
No. We were all in different years.
Okay.
I was a little younger than John Turturro and Angie.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm a little older than Courtney B. Vance.
Okay.
But not much. No, we were in the three, first year, second year, third year. So I was second year when that was all happening.
Okay. So you've known them for quite some time.
I've known them quite some time.
Have you worked with any of them since then? Or no, not really.
Well, I did some crazy stuff with them.
On stage?
Yale. On stage with Courtney B. Vance.
We need to finish that sentence.
Yes.
Okay.
No. No. They're fabulous people. Fabulous.
Okay. Yeah. Next up, true or false. You were told to wear no makeup and a peasant dress for your Untouchables audition with Kevin Costner to look less glamorous.
Yes.
Why?
Well, Lynn Stallmaster, the great Lynn Stallmaster, I went in first with him, and he said, I think Brian would like you, but I'm Southern. I had, my hair and lipstick and,
De Palma, you're referring to the director.
And I went in looking hot, and he said, no, come back. I want you to meet De Palma, but look, don't wear any makeup and wear like a dress that ties in the, like a poofy dress, like a Little House in the Prairie dress. And I came back, and Brian, there was a reader there, but Brian read with me. And he, right then and there, he said, I like you. He said, you look all sweet, but your voice isn't.
Okay. So you knew you got the gig.
And he said, I like the juxtaposition. And then the next thing I knew, I flew to Chicago to meet Kevin, and that's how I got the part.
Chicago way.
Yeah.
You got a good Sean Connery story.
Oh, Sean Connery. Well, I mean, he was so beautiful and so—and at the premiere, he made my mother's life because he came up to my mother. He was flirting with my mother at the premiere, and my mother still dines out on that, okay?
He was?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this was many, many years ago.
So, yeah, this is James Bond.
Yeah.
He's coming up as well as just one of the all-time greats. Next up, true or false, each morning on the set of Good Night and Good Luck, director George Clooney, who I believe just got a Tony nomination playing... Edward R. Murrow on Broadway now, he would give the actors a newspaper from 1953 and then simulate an actual newsroom where you, the cast members, would have to pitch ideas. Is that true?
Yes, we did. He was very authentic. And, George is a remarkable man in that he's a true egalitarian. He sees everyone across the board on an incredibly equal plane. And it was a beautiful set. It was a very improvisational set. It was a very, we were all one, everybody, whether you were on the cast or the crew, we all came together. And he loved having a kind of, he did that more with some of the guys in the cast.
Like Robert Downey was on the screen with you here.
But the spirit that was so alive on that set every single day, we all came to work every single day. And It was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had as an actor on that set with George, because it all starts at the top. It all starts at the top.
To recreate the scene.
Just to recreate, but it was just a wonderful set.
Have you been able to see it on Broadway yet?
No, I will go.
My wife and I saw it 2 weeks ago. It's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. It's quite visually striking and moving. And he's well-deserved on what he got. Two more for you. Patricia Clarkson, celebrity, true or false? True or false, you were petrified while filming the elevator shootout in the Deadpool and were comforted by Clint Eastwood.
Oh, my God.
In this, the final Dirty Harry movie.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you're bringing me back to that moment.
So this is true, then.
Trauma. Is there bourbon here? No.
Yes, there is.
Actually,
there is.
No.
I think McConaughey's bourbon is here.
They did not warn us. So first of all, you know, here I am shooting with Clint Eastwood.
In a Dirty Harry movie.
In a Dirty Harry movie. You know, I'm 27 or 28. You know,
look,
he's cast me off tape, but I got to know him. You know, Clint was lovely to me, just absolutely lovely. But still, this was a brutal scene. And the fake bullets that were coming at that elevator were, I kept thinking, I am going to die. I thought they would pierce, because it's a phony elevator. It's not a real one. And it's been built. And I'm not a scaredy cat. You know, I was raised by, you know, I have five girls.
You're from New Orleans.
I'm from New Orleans. Come on. So, I shout, throw me something, mister, and I'll fight anybody for a doubloon. But I just couldn't believe the barrage of bullets and the sound and the volume and the how much I just kept thinking. So Clint kind of got on top of me. Because he knew I was petrified. It was kind of nice.
So you went from petrified to say shoot
some
more. It's
kind of like, this is kind of nice.
Shooting a shot. I had no idea. Okay. Now that's what we call a backstory. All right. Last one for you, Patricia Clarkson. True or false? You in Friends with Benefits, you saw Justin Timberlake in the buff while shooting.
Whoa.
Your current look means this is true. Is this true?
Yes, I had the privilege. Well, it just was a circumstance, and yes, I.
Okay.
He's a lovely man.
Yes.
From the neck up, also. I mean, he is. I mean, look, he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant musician. I mean, I really admire him tremendously. But yes, I have seen a lot of him.
You have indeed. So you can confirm this actually happened.
Oh, I did.
All right. Listen, hey, you're a professional and these things happen.
Yes. You know, the perks.
They exist. Before I let you go, do you have a good, just to take a stab here, you got a good Robin Williams story from Jumanji? Or you really didn't
well,
really
remember I played
the same
him
season.
His mother of
the kid.
And I played his mother when he was five.
Right.
So I didn't really get to know him, but I knew everybody who was working on the movie at the time just was in love with him. You know, really. Everybody was in love with him.
Yeah, I just took a stab.
Cast
I just didn't
crew.
Know.
Because I wish I had known him. You know, he was a genius.
You know, obviously, when somebody's in the same cast as somebody,
yes,
you're assuming
you
that
forget,
there has been some sort of.
Yes.
But you shoot in a certain day and somebody's not there or whatever.
Yeah.
I get it. So Lily is available exclusively in theaters next week on May 9th. Everybody, check it out. This has been a pleasure.
Thank
Come
you.
On back whenever you're around.
You made so many people in my lives so much happier.
Oh, is
that I'm on your show.
Is that right?
Yes.
Should we give any specific shout-outs? Any by name or just the whole family?
Just all my nephews that play hockey. They live.
Okay, hockey for sure. Or Go Saints, you know?
Yeah.
G-A-U-X, obviously. That's the way you spell it.
Yes.
Thanks for coming here.
Thank you so much.
Patricia Clarkson here on The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Ackerman with a sports update. We're back to wrap things up in a sec.
Chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday night at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
When we had our first segment, you were talking about all the movies that you get maybe thrown at you. One film you did not mention, The Untouchables, which is another film. For me, that is a remote drop. Where I see it on TV, I just have to drop the remote, no matter where I am in the film. Do you have a Sean Connery story you can share?
I remember one time, I was with Sean. I was in Chicago. And as I was kind of talking to him, this girl was really trying to get my attention. She was cute, and I didn't want to rush over there because Sean told me a story one time of a girl sitting next to him that kept tapping him, and he knew she was there. He knew he was going to get to her, but he kept up his conversation, kept it up, finally tapping. Finally, when this dumb conversation was over and he really wanted to see what the bird was all about, he looked over at her. And her cigarette was just now hanging out of her mouth. She was trying to give him what he thought was a note, and it was a lighter, and so she looked pretty pathetic. So I had that story on my mind when I was with him, and some girl was trying to get my attention, like looking over, and finally I'm kind of done with him, and I think, well, I'll stroll over and see what she really wants. So I did. I walked, and she was behind the ribbon, and I got really close to her, and I said, yeah, and she goes, could you get me Sean's autograph? And I went like... I felt like I had a cigarette hanging out of my mouth like this. I said, yeah, of course I could do that.
The biggest star.
Yeah, and the real deal, and, you know, really honest. I mean, he was upset on Untouchables. He was upset because he thought somebody had treated him wrong in production. It was going to cost him money, and money was important to him, how it worked and that kind of thing. And he was really angry. He was in a bar, and he called me over, and he goes, Mr. Nash. He'd called me Ness. He
goes, Mr.
Nash. Yeah, and I go, yeah. And I go, what? He goes, he's going to sit down here with me. And I sat down, and he had this piece of paper, like a yellow pad, mm-hmm. just like what you have.
Yeah.
And he said, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And it was like stuff that was right and stuff that was wrong. And I said, I remember that. And yeah, I remember that. And he goes, God, thank you. And he went and tore this guy's head off. He just needed to be sure. He needed to be sure that he wasn't going to be wrong.
All facts confirmed by
Kevin
Costner.
He didn't want to kind of, you know, no. But boy, then it was lit. Then it was on.
Look out.
That's all on our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. One of the many appearances Kevin Costner has been kind enough to give us here on the program, which is great. So that was fun right there.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
You know? What?
Nothing.
All good.
That was fun. It was great.
Down the road, not so great.
No.
No. No, 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 no.
They're having, they just finished their post. Man, they didn't waste any time. They put the coach and the GM out there the next day.
So, yeah, when it's bad news, you want to get it over with quick.
I guess the only thing not to their benefit, it's not Friday at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Well, that's old. That's an old way of looking at things.
Yeah, you know, it could be any time today.
Yeah, that's right, Mike.
You're on your phone a little bit less over the weekend.
Are you?
I think so.
Nah, I mean, yeah.
Aren't you trying to tap out of your family obligations?
Am I trying to?
Screen time's low on the weekends.
I'm having fun, everybody. Just having some fun with my friend over there. Hyundai, everybody. Hyundai, top safety awards for the Hyundai. Over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006, because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. That's why their awards include top safety pick and top safety pick plus awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 25. And the reason why they get that is because Hyundai offers available class exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you in every single Hyundai. Check it out today. 844-204-RICH. Number Don, we'll sneak in a call just before the end of the show because O'Shea Jackson Jr. is ducking ours. Yeah, I just said it.
Come on. Give the guy a break.
No, I forgot he said he had a meeting.
My name is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
I have meetings.
I'm a big important Hollywood star. I have lunch with my people. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Oh, I charge everything to my agents. Look at me. I'm O'Shea.
J.J. Redick just met with the media. Actually, that's not true. Rob Pelinka just met with the media. And before that, J.J. Redick did. So J.J. Redick said, what did he say? He said that Dave McMenamin, saying that without naming names, the roster must, quote unquote, get in championship shape during the offseason.
Oof. What does that mean?
The roster must. At least he didn't say his newly acquired.
I'm J.J. Redick. Who can I be talking about?
I mean, exactly.
At least he didn't talk about, you know, is Luca's new nickname roster?
Right.
Got it.
It rhymes with Shmuka Honkik.
Man, I just saw in the middle of the, during the commercial break, that people are going to start talking about Luca's career pre-fat and being fat, and it's just not right.
I gotta say,
but literally is what's being, this is, and I'm wondering how he will take these types of comments, because he's already, that already made him bristle at the trade that everyone's saying the reason why the Mavs weren't going to sign him in the Supermax and send him to Los Angeles is because he did not take his conditioning properly, and then and the famous footage of Michael Finley, former player, now front office executive, taking the beer out of his hand so before he could drink it after celebrating a Western Conference championship is the video we keep seeing.
You look at some of his highlights from his rookie second year. He is throwing down dunks, fast breaks, getting above the rim. You don't see that game from him anymore.
How's he going to take it? How's he going to take it? That's the question. How will he take it? Oof. Aura Frames, a perfect, perfect Mother's Day gift for you to give to mom, because the tech is so easy. It's so awesome. You can just there's unlimited storage in the frame. So you can take as many photos off your phone, videos, funny memes, all these things off your phone. Boom, send them to the frame and it's right there on your mantle, wherever your mom would keep it. A great deal for Mother's Day. Just plug it in, share away. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. They get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code RICH, and support the station, this show, by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Great fun show, everybody.
Funny show.
I guess O'Shea Jackson Jr. will just have to join us tomorrow when he's not meeting. But there's a live shot of him watching the game last night with you, TJ. Again, you buried the lead that you watched the game with him last night. Oh, this is so much fun.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.